Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are those who say that Christianity is not for this age. Even some who claim to be Christians have said they would not want to be a Christian if there was no heaven. They consider the time and the energy expended in being a Christian to be something that simply does not pay. In fact, it's not uncommon to sometimes hear the phrase, "You cannot really get ahead in this world and be a Christian." And because of this attitude, we need to ask, does it pay in this life to serve Christ? And we insist that the answer is an emphatic yes. In this study, we're not concerned with the reward after this life. We most assuredly do not dismiss it. But we're confining our investigation to our existence in the here and now. There are those that would have us to believe that this life is all there is anyway. So our inquiry is, if this earthly life was all there is to our existence, would it be worthwhile to be a Christian? Now please do not misunderstand. The great benefit and reward of Christianity has to do with the next life, not this one. Paul wrote, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, but not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. Sometimes people do not consider the cost involved in being a Christian. Christ said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" Luke 14 and verse 28. Friend, there is a cost to being a faithful Christian. Some have started on the life's journey with Christ, but decided it was more than they had bargained for and have forsaken him, thinking that it did not pay. Let us consider some of the cost involved. There is the need of self-control. One of the characteristics of Christians listed in 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6. Self-control, or temperance, was a characteristic of Christ. The value of this trait is immeasurable in the affairs of this life. Consider for a moment the danger of an airplane out of control or an automobile out of control. But friend, far worse situations exist when men lose control of themselves. Sometimes the whole world can be adversely affected, such as the madness of Hitler and Stalin and other barbaric leaders of the past and present. The Christian must control his lust, his appetites, his passions, his desire for power, his wealth, even control those things necessary to the sustenance of life. How much harm is done all around because of the loss of control over mind, over temper, over body. One who possesses self-control bears no malice toward others, seeks no revenge, but tries to be pleasing to others. It is obvious that life can be miserable for a person and for those around him when the Christian quality of self-control is lacking. Proverbs 16 and verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And closely akin to self-control is self-denial. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16 and verse 24. Now that which is to be denied is not pleasure, is not money, it is self. That is, no longer is one most concerned with self and his own will, but the will of the Lord. He makes himself secondary for the benefit of others. His own ambitions, his own goals can be sacrificed if that is what is best for the spiritual welfare of others. He must love Christ more than anything or anyone, including self. Matthew 10:34, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Loyalty, allegiance, it first must belong to Christ before all others, including self. We need to self-examine ourselves to know where our primary loyalties lie. Obedience is a cost to be paid for being a Christian. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." The well done that will be heard from the Lord will be heard by those who were good and faithful servants. Matthew 25 and verse 31. And faithfulness demands obedience. Possibly one of the mistaken concepts some have about being a Christian is that somehow they can have a hit-and-miss kind of service, and this will suffice as well as faithful service. When we obey a command, just because we think it's reasonable to do so, just when it is convenient, then we have not really given the submissive obedience the Lord expects. We should do what the Lord wants because the Lord wants it. That is the cost of being a faithful child of God. Do we serve God out of convenience or out of conviction? Let us briefly sum up the cost involved in being a Christian by saying we must give our lives, Romans 12, 1 and 2. A living sacrifice is what Paul said was the role of service. Is not this what Paul did, Galatians 2 and verse 20? While Paul lived, he served him. He was willing to die to be faithful. He was willing to live to serve more if that's what God wanted. And let us not overlook the fact that choosing to serve Christ means that all hell will be arrayed against you. But to refuse to serve Christ means that you array yourself against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need not be surprised that the world would hate us, 1 John 3 and verse 13. Jesus said, "Ye know that it hated me before it hated you," John 15, 18. We have just touched on the cost of being a Christian, certainly have not exhausted them, but just to point out, there is a cost. But this adequately lays the groundwork now for asking the question, well, does it pay in this life to be a Christian? Are there benefits other than the primary one which is in heaven? Well, let us consider the following. There is fellowship to enjoy with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are fellow laborers in the Lord's vineyard. The help, the comfort, the encouragement, the concern that we extend to each other is one of the most wonderful blessings of life. We are privileged to travel the road of life with those who care for us, and we care for them. Our brethren, because they have respect for the teaching of Christ, are the best people on earth. Christian friends understand, they sympathize, they assist. They'll stand with you in truth. What sweet sentiments are expressed in that song, "Blessed be the tie that binds." One has written, "If but two things I could keep and could retain no other, I want the friendship of my Lord and then my Christian brother." As Christians, we can know that we're safe from any real harm. We will have trials and persecutions. There will be dangers and disappointments. We may even experience betrayals. Temptation shall stalk our steps, and we remain subject to physical harm and hardship such as is common among men. But we have the promise that others outside of Christ do not yet have, nor shall have until they are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." Friend, I realize it's easier to say than to live, but please get the meaning of this blessed promise. Paul is telling us that we as Christians can say, "There is nothing that shall happen this day that God and I together cannot handle." I contend that is worthwhile. Peter asked, And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? 1 Peter 3:13. Peter does not promise escape from every pain and every threat and every grief and every woe, but no real harm can overcome us if we remain followers of our Lord. If only we could grow and develop such sufficient faith as these assurances, even in those matters where we are lacking understanding, we can be assured that God knows, God cares, and God overrules. Paul said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Romans 8:31. Is not that something of benefit in this life? The Hebrew writer stated in Hebrews 13 and verse 6, "The Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me." What would you exchange for that blessing? We even have the promise of the things God sees we need in this life. In that matchless Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, in Matthew 6:25 through 34, we have the conditional promise that if we seek first things first, which means the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His church and His commandments, we shall have God's provision. We believe in the providence of God. We do not contend that we understand it, but He has assured us of it. We are not promised all that we want or all that we may think we need. But in the infinite wisdom of God, He shall see to it that we have provision of the needs of this life. And again, is this not something that makes being a Christian worthwhile in the here and now? David wrote in Psalm 37, verse 25, "I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Serving Christ also provides an outlet for one of man's greatest earthly needs, and that is rendering service to someone or something other than himself. We have the joy of service in Christ. We receive blessings by being a blessing. Doing a good deed makes the heart glad. Acts 20 and 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Did not Christ live a life of service? He came to minister, Matthew 20, verse 28. The greatest before God are those that serve. The happiest in life are those whose concern is more on others than on self. We receive such joy and consolation and benefit in this life by doing the labor of a child of God. Such provides for the human spirit that for which the world longs, namely, contentment and peace and accomplishment, the absence of fear, a purpose in life. Now, we do not want to leave the impression that we are to become so self-satisfied that we cease to grow and cease to move forward spiritually in this life. In fact, we are urged to be content with what we have, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Hebrews 13:5. And Paul wrote, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4 and verse 7. Friend, these are benefits enjoyed in this life, in service as a Christian. Christianity is not designed to bring us material wealth, or power, or social standing in a sin-wrecked world. It's not designed to make us popular. It is a sin against God and man to hold out to others such things as the material rewards in this life for serving Christ. Such things are not promised in abundance and supply. In fact, the loss of such things is a very real possibility if you serve Christ. Many faithful Christians have had to abandon all of that in order to be faithful servants. But following Christ pays richly in those things that really matter, and that cannot be removed or taken away even if the world ceases to exist. Does it pay in this life to be a Christian? Obviously, the answer is in the affirmative. We have only noted a few matters that prove that this is true, and we might add to what we have said, all this and heaven too. My dear listening friend, there is coming an hour when we shall walk the earth no more. We shall face, without dread but with hope, that very definite and personal event. But shall we not have the Lord to walk the valley of the shadow of death with us? Psalm 23. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10 and verse 10. Now this has primary application to the eternal life in heaven with God. But it also has application to this life for the obedient child of God, even here on earth. And such things cannot be dismissed. It goes to the very heart of our existence, both now and forever. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.